The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Not to be overly dramatic, but I mean, there were times when I'm thinking, maybe I'm done, maybe I'm finished, maybe it's over, maybe I'm never going to be the same. And I'm not, I'm better.
Pastor Jack Graham invites you to reignite your faith in victory and joy.
The faithfulness of God and the presence of Christ in my life was so very real. And I know Jesus more, and I love Jesus now more than ever. And a part of that was this experience.
Next on Life Today.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh here with Randy, as always, and I'm excited about today's show. If you tuned in earlier this week, you would hear that my pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, has a brand new book that was just released a couple of days ago. I have it right here. It's called Reignite. Fresh focus for an enduring faith. So thank you so much for coming back and doing this again.
Oh, great to be back.
Yeah. In case anybody missed our first program, would you just kind of give a little cliff notes of what led to it?
Yeah. When the lights went out in a very real way for me after a cancer surgery in 2009 and fought a very tough battle with anxiety and depression, and we talk in the book, I just tell that story. And I've written a number of books, but I've never been quite this, let's call it testimonial or transparent with just a personal struggle in my life. But I did it because I know so many people. I am a pastor, and I know so many people who struggle with anxiety, depression, loneliness, all these health issues that we have, and their health issues as well. Here in the middle of COVID, we've got a mental health crisis going, hopefully maybe the end of COVID, if we can see the end. But I wrote this from my heart to just tell my story, and with it is full of scripture and how I found renewed faith and enduring faith. I talk in this book a lot about perseverance. And in fact, when I first started out to kind of write it, I said, let's do a book on persevering and pressing on. And that's really the story of pressing through pain and enduring with your faith in spite of the struggle that you're facing. So, you know, I kind of poured it all out there. And, you know, when you're a pastor and you're supposed to have all the answers, and, you know, we do have the answer in God's Word. But you know what I mean? When you know, people look at pastors, they think, well, they've got it all together. They never have a problem. They don't struggle. Well, many pastors do. And I can personally say that I went through a struggle and I learned a lot and I wanted to share it with others.
But I think that's amazing because I think of you so often, you will bring in these young pastors and you pour into their lives. That's part of what you do. And I think the very fact that you were willing to be this transparent, it will set so many of them free.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, who does the pastor talk to?
Right.
You know, who do you confide in when things are rough? But I've often wondered, when you actually finish it and you send it off and it's out of your hands, was that ever scary thinking, gosh, you're going to know a whole lot about me this more?
Well, I actually did have those thoughts. And to say, do I really want to say all of this? And just trying to, you know, I don't know why, but maybe it's pride. I don't know what it is, but we tend to want to protect ourselves against whether it's criticism or, well, he's a pastor. Why would he go through something? I share in there how, you know, I went to a counselor and I needed to talk to someone. I was a pastor. Who does the pastor talk to?
Right.
So I went to a wonderful Christian man who walked me through a lot of this. And so, but I tell you this. Once it was done and sent off, I have no regrets. Mm-hmm. I am really thankful. Because here's the thing. This is not just a sad story. There is victory on the other side. And I can tell you, even in the midst of my darkest and lowest times, I mean, the faithfulness of God and the presence of Christ in my life was so very real.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Jesus more, and I love Jesus now more than ever. And a part of that was this experience.
You know, one thing I like about the title is you know, if you put a book out on perseverance, people are going to be like, oh, man, because that's a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having done all to stand, you just stand, and then sometimes that's all you can do. But in reignite, when I think of ignition, I mean, I think of fuel, I think of flame, I think of power, I think of moving forward. And you're saying reignite. What are some of these things that brought you back your go?
Yeah, the strength. Because one of the things that depression and mental crisis of any kind can do to you is just, it just saps you of your strength. I felt days, I felt like the walking dead. In fact, it was crazy, I'd written a book in 2009 called Powering Up. It was on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And my life was powering down. Not that the Spirit wasn't present and real, but just on an emotional level, I was powering down. I wasn't powering up. So I had to learn how to put those principles into practice. And I do love the title, the idea of reigniting. We've just been through this storm here in Dallas with all the ice, and when the power came back on, if you lost your power, and the house started warming again, that was a great experience. So when the power came back on for me, when we were reignited, I experienced those men on the road to Emmaus. We're doing a television special with PowerPoint, our radio and television ministry, for this Easter coming right up. Called Living Hope. And we did it at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. And because we're at this tremendous museum, a tribute and a testimonial to the Word of God, it's a fantastic experience. But I thought, okay, where do we put the Bible in with the message of the resurrection? And I remembered those men who were walking so hopeless, so sad on the road to Emmaus. They thought that Jesus was the one. Now everything is blown up. That they were despairing, really, and it was so dark. And then Jesus joins them on the road and begins to converse with them. They don't realize they're with Jesus yet, but he begins with Moses and the prophets and shows them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Can you imagine that? A Bible study, a walk in the Word, the living Word of Jesus, and all the scriptures, those things concerning himself. Not all the things, they'd still be there, but in all the scriptures, the things concerning. And so from Genesis, and of course, they just had the Old Testament at that point. So in all the Old Testament portraits and pictures of Jesus. And so they're walking, and then Jesus reveals himself. And they realized that Jesus is alive. And then they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us when we walked with him in the way? So this move for me from a kind of a barren experience, if you will, to a believing and burning, a reigniting of my life. And when you do have to endure something, you know, there's probably not hardly any victories without endurance, whether you're talking about sports or anything else, battles on in war. When you do endure something, nobody likes endurance. Nobody likes the discipline. Even the discipline of the Lord is tough. But when you endure something and you go through something and then you come on the other side and you're winning and you win, and we do win, we know that. We have victory in Jesus. And so when you come out on the other side, you see how God was faithful in the midst of the heat. And then you make these transfers, and we talk about this in the book, where you trade in your anxiety for peace, the peace that passes understanding. I talk a lot about that. You trade in, you know, the lies. But one of the things that depression does to you, it lies to you.
True.
And Satan would step in and say things to me in that year of that struggle, like, you're finished.
Wow.
You're never going to get better. You're going to be stuck like this. I kept asking my wife, Deb, and others who knew what I was going through, I said, am I going to be okay? And I understand maybe others have asked the same question through experiences like that. Am I going to be okay? And I just needed somebody to say, yes, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through this. You're going to be back. And God will renew your faith and your ministry. And not to be overly dramatic, but I mean, there were times when I'm thinking, maybe I'm done. Maybe I'm finished. Maybe it's over. Maybe I'm never going to be the same. And I'm not, I'm better. So.
I could say a big amen to that.
I'm curious though, did you have to make a conscious choice to believe that?
Yes, it's always the way we think, of course, the way we process what we think. And I talk in there a lot about prayer and how I prayed and the kinds of prayers that I've prayed. And I talk about how the Bible, God's Word, heals our minds, because the only way to defeat a lie is with truth. And so I just kept pouring God's promises into my life and thinking and dreaming of a better day. And it came.
You know, I love the divine swaps. You've got exchange doubt for faith, discontentment for gratitude, distress for peace. But I'm thinking of our audience at the moment. I'm thinking, is it ever too late to start again?
It's never too late for a new beginning. There's an old saying, it's never too late for a new beginning, but also that the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. A Christian life is a series of new beginnings. And so, absolutely. And certainly, if a person is not a believer in Jesus, or you don't know if your faith is there, if you don't know if you have Christ in your life, then you can be born again. And Jesus was saying that this experience of new birth is so radical, so revolutionary, that it's like being born all over again. And it's a new life in Christ. So it's never too late for Christ to work in your life, and no one is too far gone. It's never too dark. There's no problem God can't solve, and no predicament He cannot resolve in our lives.
So I understand how you have the choice. You see your circumstance, you maybe hear the enemy or just the question marks, the unknown, and you can choose to believe that, or you, as you did, you went to God's Word, you asked people who were godly people, you know, if you're going to be okay. You stood on His promises. So that was a choice that I can grab onto. I can say, okay, if I'm in that situation, I can do that too. Walk us through some of the very practical steps to some of these swaps.
Okay, on gratitude, for example, there's a whole chapter on your discontent. Trade that for gratitude. Swap it. And so gratitude, I had always preached it, and I'd always believed it, is the healthiest. Hans Selye said this, who was the author of the stress studies way back. He said that gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions.
Wow.
When you think about it, every toxic thought we have, every emotion that we have that is negative or disruptive in our lives is counteracted by gratitude. Everyone, I mean, we don't have time to go through them all, but if you're worrying, for example, and you're dealing with some worry in your life, and you transfer the worries, the anxieties, to gratitude, and you start thinking of the ways that God has blessed your life, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Paul, in that passage in Philippians chapter 4, said, pray always with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus. And then he went on to say, and so think on these things. And he talked about the good things, the good thoughts, the whatever things are true and honorable and virtuous and of good report. Think on these things. Because we really can only, I taught myself through the years, and I really practice it during this time, that you can only really think one thought at a time. Now, you can get kind of a monkey mind going and your head's going in all directions.
Especially us guys.
But you can begin to train your brain to think and meditate on the Word of God. I talk about that.
Yeah.
Meditation is so very important. Back when I was a young Christian, I think I can remember all of these. The Navigators had a thing using your hand to describe how we respond to God's Word. Let's see if I can do it well. We are to hear God's Word. That's the thumb. We're to read God's Word. We're to study what God's Word. That's a different level. And then we're to memorize God's Word. And I've done that through the years. And so many of the scriptures that I had memorized when I couldn't even think straight in the middle of this deal, when I couldn't concentrate very well, those scriptures that I had memorized, they came out and they were strong. I even preached a series of messages on the promises of God during the middle of this thing, and that's a whole other story. But the pinky, which helps you hold everything in that navigator explanation of God's Word and getting a grip on God's Word, that's meditation. Now, we're not talking about, when we talk about meditation upon the Word of God, we're not taking your mind to zero or thinking nothing like Eastern mysticism or meditation, you know, just sitting, you know, and gazing at your navel and trying to think nothing. That's destructive. You empty your brain and bad things happen. No, you fill your mind with God's Word.
Yeah.
And so I would say that was one of the most important things. I know it sounds like a spiritual answer, but it's
good.
A very, very real thing.
Good.
When you meditate upon God and His Word, because that destroys and pulls down strongholds in your life.
You're not just a pastor preaching it. You're a pastor who's lived it.
Yeah, and no doubt about it. And I know it more now than ever before. But I would say meditating on the Word of God. But so back to that. So gratitude gives me the response to if I'm, you know, God, you know, why am I sick? What's wrong? God, why did we not have enough money? God, why? All the whys. When we recognize with gratitude, and it heals the soul.
Mm. Totally.
When you give thanks to God. And look, read your Bible. It's just full of praise and adoration and worship and gratitude. I mean, it's all through God's Word.
One of the things I started doing and during 2020 when life was so weird was, and I still do it every day, I go outside and I read 2 or 3 Psalms out loud.
Yeah,
there's
good.
Something great about my ears hearing what my eyes are reading and proclaiming what's true.
And there's something so great when you do it in that Scottish accent, too. I mean, it even sounds more spiritual. If I went out and did that, it would just be, eh. But when you read those scriptures, we've had Sheila during special events at the church come and just quote scripture or read something, and we say, yeah, that sounds like heaven there.
Yeah. But I love the fact that you kind of end the book with gazing on things unseen, our future and our hope.
Yeah, because the bottom line is I had cancer, and cancer kills. It kills people. It could have killed me. I'm grateful for his healing, and I'm all good now, 11 years later, cancer-free, grateful. But something else, you know, will take me. If Christ doesn't return, we're all going to die. We're all mortal. And you have to get to the place where you are anticipating seeing Christ, and I talk in there about the hope of heaven and the promise. I don't think we talk enough about heaven.
True.
We're so worldly and earthly minded, and you know, I was afraid with the cancer thing that maybe I'm going to die. Maybe I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of the cancer, and it put me in a bad place. Mm-hmm. And I believe I've learned, if it happened again the next time, if things do happen, I'm in a place now where I don't want to die, but I'm certainly willing, and even to the place where I'm wanting more and more to see Jesus. We just came across, Billy Graham died 3 years ago. We just passed that mark back in February. And I was reading a Billy quote when he was saying, people, you know, say, are you afraid to die? He said, no, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, you get to the place in your life where, and we all should get there eventually, where we're looking forward to being with Jesus. So that's the way I close the book. And I've said, look, cancer can't destroy you because Jesus is the resurrection of life. We're celebrating the resurrection these days coming up. Jesus is alive. He lives in us. He who believes will never die. We have eternal life in Christ. So there is nothing. Does the scripture say? Not height, nor depth, nor death, or life, nor any created thing, angels, principalities, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that now more than ever and believe it more than ever.
When you understand, and I can see it in your life, when you understand that truth, that even death has been defeated in Christ, it gives you a freedom.
Oh, yeah.
An incredible
But it breaks the bondage of death.
It does.
And the Bible talks about that we lived in bondage and fear of death.
And you know,
that bondage needs to be broken.
Yeah.
there is another kind of bondage that needs to be broken.
There is. And I think one thing's clear. You're going to want to read this book. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to read Reignite. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you that we'll be happy to send it to you. But we want you to help us. As Randy said, there are some girls right now in bondage. Mm-hmm. And you and I have this amazing privilege of doing something about it. So watch this.
Streets like these create an illusion of pleasure and good times. But as you delve into the back alleys and rooms hidden away, you discover another world. One where children and young girls are being abused and sexually exploited by human traffickers. Anjali knows this all too well. Breaking down their victims emotionally and physically are just some of the horrendous techniques the traffickers use to keep the girls under their control.
उसके बाद मैंने गर्ल के दूसरे गर्ल के मर्डर भी हो गए थे करके बाजू उनका गर्दन काटना उसका छाती उसके और देखा एक लड़की के नाम पिंकी है वो लोग करना बहुत बहुत मम्मी से प्यार करते ना जब उस लोग को कस्टमर ला गए ना उन लोग को मर्डर करना शुरू कर दिए.
It is easy to understand why young girls like Anjali cannot escape such extreme situations. As for Anjali, it would have been easy for her to simply give up had it not been for a kind word from an unlikely source.
मैंने बोला था एक लड़की का नाम राधा था उनके मम्मी डैडी को भी नहीं वो भी मेरे जैसे आना दिए बोले थे कि अच्छे से कमाओ सोना पीने जमा करके रखो आपके परिवार लेके जा सकते मैं बोला ठीक है मैंने दो तीन साल रहे हुए वहाँ पे जब भी अंकल को मैंने पहचान लिया.
It was not long after that encounter with Radha that Life's Mission partners in South Asia were able to free both of them.
You know, so often when we think of sex trafficking, if we ever do, we think of a certain type of person who may be involved with that. But I've had the privilege of actually being walking those streets. That little darling girl with the green shirt looking out the window. I held her and prayed with her as she wanted to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I want you to know these are little girls like your daughters, like your sister. They didn't come into this world thinking that's the life they would live. So many of them, their parents are gone. That little girl in particular, her dad left and her mother's in prison. She's the head of the family, just 12 years old. She has three younger siblings. If we don't come in Jesus' name, who will? The traffickers are organized. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. But we are the Church of Jesus Christ. We know that there's redemption, that there's hope, that there's healing. But we need you to take our hand and join with us. I can't wait till all travel restrictions are off and I can finally be back in Southeast Asia and bring good news. But they need it right now. And Randy, each one of us can do something to help.
We can. And have you ever heard any of those children say a prayer or seen them pray to a statue or to a candle?
Yeah.
They don't even, oftentimes, they don't know who they're praying to. They're just saying some sort of desperate prayer for help. I want Christians to be the answer to that prayer. I want you to be the answer to that prayer. Here's how it works. We go in, we reach into these areas, we rescue these girls, whether it's pulling them out or stopping them at the border from ever going into a country where they're going to be trafficked, and we restore, we give them hope, we give them training, we give them skills, we give them a safe place, and we give them the love of Christ. That's what we do, but we only do it with your support. We have friends right now that have pledged $320,000 towards Rescue Life. They have set that aside to match whatever you give today. So instead of $128 being the average cost for rescuing a child, it's $64 because yours is being doubled. We are really appreciative towards those donors that have said they would do that. But we really, we ask for your support. I ask you to go online, go to the phones, make the best gift that you can, because this is the gospel. This is living out the gospel. This is going in Jesus' name, just like that girl, Sheila, that you saw, and saying, I don't know who you've been praying to. Maybe you don't know who you've been praying to, but we know the answer. Will you be that answer today? I pray you will.
And you know, the great thing is, Randy, this book by Pastor Graham is going to write a fresh flame in your heart. Your faith is going to be reignited.
Yeah.
Let's take the light of Christ into the darkest corners of this earth in Jesus' name. So for any gift you give at all today, we'll be happy to send you Pastor Graham's book. Please go to the phone now. Make a difference in Jesus' name.
Human trafficking is one of the world's darkest sources of criminal activity and money. As a result, children and young people are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators into a never-ending nightmare. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at the risk of being trafficked, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives, giving them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be double to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Natural Remedies. This beautifully illustrated and essential book explores ancient nutrition and the health benefits found in God's creation, a valuable reference with biblical insight to help you live your best life. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Jesus My Refuge journal and pen set, filled with scriptures reminding you of God's covering in times of need. You'll also be reminded to pray for those seeking refuge from the horrors of human trafficking. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Thank you so much. If the lines are busy, keep calling. Let's determine that as long as we as the body of Christ are on this earth, we're going to make a difference. Yep. We're going to shine light into the darkness.
Yep. And when you make your gift today, request Jack Graham's book, Reignite, and it will reignite a passion in you for life, for freedom, for Christ, and just doing what we're supposed to do here. Thank you, Jack, for being with us. We appreciate you sharing.
Always good to be with you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
We appreciate you guys being with us. Don't miss a single episode. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
When planning your future, keep their future in mind. Contact Life Planning Services today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.